Blog Talk Radio.
Are you on?
United Voices with Sherry Sanders. She has a report about the protest that's going on at the Jackson County, Alabama courthouse. This is a case Sherry, a grassroots warrior, has been following for the past few weeks and months. So I'm going to turn it over to Sherry, and she's going to give y'all an update about what's going on.
All right, everyone. We're sitting here live at the Jackson County courthouse. Earlier this morning, the judge decided to cancel the hearing for today, postpone that hearing. We have not been given a future date and time as to when they're going to allow this woman to stand before a judge. They have placed her in general population. In the beginning, when they took her into custody a month ago, folks, y'all understood that I explained to you that she was supposed to start her murder trial that day, the murder of her rapist. The judge decided to place her on a mental health hold, given no reason or cause. She had no past diagnoses of craziness, needing to be placed into a mental home. She had never in her past ever been a patient in a mental home. So the judge made a decision to place this woman on a mental health hold in the county jail in the medical facility, saying that she was a danger to herself and her community. They spent the next 2 weeks after taking her into custody removing her from the prescription medication that a psychiatrist had prescribed to her after she had been brutally raped and attacked by Todd Smith. So they gave her a drug test in the courthouse a month ago. She was found to not have any drugs in her system. None at all, because all they tested for was opiates, marijuana, cocaine, meth, those kind of drugs. She didn't have any of that in her bloodstream. The judge took her into custody for not having any drugs in her bloodstream and for taking the prescription medication. A doctor who was treating her for the depression and PTSD from the rape had given her. So now she's been in jail for 30 days on a mental health hold. She's not seen a judge. She's not seen a psychiatrist. She's not been evaluated by anybody but the state psychologist who suggested that she was so sick in her head that she needed to be given a mental health hold. The judge signed off on this. It sort of makes no sense at all how someone who's never had a past history of being admitted into any mental hospital, they use information in a court hearing by an Alabama psychiatrist sent by the state who says, yep, she's been in a nut house. We've got to throw her back in, folks. She's never been in a nut house. So why is she in a nut house now? Why is she in this courthouse right now? She was on bond. She was supposed to be tried for murder. So she sits in a courthouse or sits in a jail in general population 30 days out from the time period where a state Alabama psychologist said she is so looney tune, she is a danger to herself and her community. The judge said she's such a looney tune, she's a danger to herself and her community. But apparently she's not a danger to herself or her community anymore because they canceled the hearing and placed her in general population. So it sort of makes no sense at all as to what has been happening in this situation. So, Marcus, to say that I even have a clue as to what's happening, I don't, because it seems like there is no sense to be made in a Jackson County courthouse today or any day in the future.
Yes, that sounds very peculiar. It sounds like, really, it sounds like they're trying to get their shit together in the case that seemed kind of strange in the first place, according to, you know, what we heard on the first show about, you know, the case.
What it appears is what's happening is they are trying to wear Brittany down. They have said to her attorney, there have been people speaking to her in the jail. They have been telling her if she will just plead guilty for an insanity plea, saying that she shot and killed him because she was insane, that they would place her in a mental hospital, and after a couple of years' time, the judge would just wipe this off her record. She'd be able to come home free and clear. This is the bullshit story that they have told this woman in jail while she sits daily crying, trying to figure out why she's in jail to begin with, when in the beginning this was a stand your ground case. When someone comes into your home, chokes you out, beats you, urinates on you, bites you, rapes you, and you have the audacity to kill that son of a bitch, why are you charged for murder? You should be given the key to the city and perhaps a medal for taking out the trash. This situation has made no sense from the beginning. It makes no sense today. So what I'd like to do is bring on one of the protesters that are here today. I've got Sandra Goodman. She is, to say that she is the most well-known person in Jackson County is to be speaking the truth. The Jackson County has known Sandra a long time. You see, Jackson County did some bad things to her family, made her upset, made her want to go out and research, do some investigation and find out why the corruption was taking place. So I have with us today here Sandra Goodman, who can perhaps give you some insight on what they're thinking inside this courthouse and why they've made the decision they've made today. Sandra, can I invite you to come in on this conversation?
Yes, I muted it, so I wouldn't have any background. But yeah, what we are experiencing is pretty much a money lining their pockets. Let's get everybody on color code, and the laws that are written are not going to be followed. They're going to be overrun by the elected officials in the seat. They have had adamant time to deem this a self-defense, but instead they're trying to wear her down. I heard it with my own. Hang in there. We're just unmuted.
Yeah, no,
hello?
Muted. I was just saying that instead of thinking, like you said, trying everybody on color code, that in itself just should tell you that there's a lot of pockets being squeezed and there's a lot of money to be made with these color codes, and we'll get into that as well. But go back to what Sherry was saying. you said, Brittany, she's upset every day. Hopefully she's in contact with her family and friends and know that she got people out there for her.
She's been able to speak with her mother, but not anyone else. And it's just been, at first they had her on 23-hour lockdown, and 1 hour a day she was able to get out of that medical pod and call her family. And that was the only time that she had ever been able to make any contact, is the hour that she had out of that medical pod. But now yesterday they put her in general population in a pod with 50 other women. Now if she's a danger to the community and to herself, then why they put her in the general population inside the jail? She had never had been in jail to begin with. This was a clear stand your ground, cut dry. I was talking to a gentleman earlier. He had to shoot his soon-to-be ex-wife because 3 days after he had gotten a protection order from an honorable judge here in Jackson County. And 3 days after, she entered his home and started shooting, and he shot back one time. The fifth shot that she shot was, and his first shot hit her in the throat and it killed her. Well, he got him a hearing and went in front of the judge. It was cut and dry, stand your ground. The man was never charged with anything. But now, in Brittany's case, she was held hostage in her own home. DHR had already taken all of her children. She didn't want a baby. She sees where this man has bulldogs for sale, puppies. She needed a baby to love. She gets this pit bull from this man, and he shows up. He ends up in her home uninvited and brutally raped her, sodomized, beat her. The sheriff's department ordered them to stop CPR and took her to the Red Cross Center. They didn't drug test her, said that they knew that she wasn't on drugs. So brought her back to her mother because their shift was about to end, and asked her mother to take her to the emergency room because they thought that her jaw and her ribs were broken. And from that, Brittany goes to jail. So it's kind of sending a message that it's okay to rape anyone. You're not going to get in trouble for raping anyone here in Jackson County. You're going to get in trouble for defending and protecting yourself. This is the message that is being sent out to the public, that it's okay. You can do this in Jackson County because we're going to rewrite the law. And we're going to fix it to where we didn't make any mistakes. And Brittany is the one who is paying for their mistakes.
Absolutely. We've had a caller to call in to the show. Marcus, I'll ask that you unmute that caller's phone and allow them to speak. Caller, would you like to call in? And do you have any comments on today's hearing here in Jackson County?
I'm here. I am Paige Parker, the ex-wife of Todd Smith, and I was also beaten and raped and sodomized for years by this man. He is truly evil, and I know what Brittany went through that night because I went through it for years, and justice needs to be done for Brittany.
Well, Paige, you and I have talked about the relationship. Some people might ask why you stayed so long. What made you think that one day Todd was just going to stop beating you? And
well, that's domestic violence at its finest, because I still don't know why I stayed myself. They make you feel like you're nothing. They put you down. They beat you into an oblivion. I stayed held up on a house, beaten, raped, black eyes. I didn't want to face anyone in my life for the repercussions that they would have to deal with from this man. I wanted to take it all myself and not involve anyone else in what I had to deal with. And that's the thing that a lot of women go through. They feel like they are stuck and they are worthless and they're not worth anything. They beat you down mentally and physically to a point where you can't do anything.
Same.
That's
well,
the truth. And
did you ever reach out, other than family, did you ever reach out to anyone in this community and ask for help with Todd Smith? And that's including his family.
Oh, yes. His dad actually saved my life one time from this man. I was duct taped and held captive for days and beaten, raped, sodomized, just like Brittany again. This had happened numerous times to me. And his dad actually saved my life. I was about to go in the Tennessee River, duct taped to a chair, and he saved my life that day. And that happened numerous times. And
right. Was there ever anyone in his family, Paige? And I hate to ask. I know that I have not.
No, I'm fine.
We haven't gotten anyone in his family that's willing to talk. There are some friends, I will describe them folks as crackhead friends, that have given me their opinion, but even they have decided they didn't want to come on the phone either when I invited them to come into the show to explain your friendship to Todd and, you know, just how many times y'all rode together over to this guy's house to pick up a sack. We all appreciate those rides. We all understand what those rides were about. But in his family, did anyone ever try to get him some mental health care or some mental health? Because it sounds like he was suffering from a mental health condition where at one point he was Dr. Jekyll and then Mr. Hyde.
Well, really what I think he was suffering from was mama's boy or granny's boy syndrome is really what I think it was, because his family – not including me, but everyone else in his life that he dealt with had to deal with violence and turmoil. So I think from that point, everybody tried to protect him and his family. I don't understand why to this day why they did that. I was beat to an oblivion one time, and they asked me what I had done wrong. And I couldn't even see straight. That was the first time he had ever beat me up. And I had broken ribs, broken nose, jaw, everything. And they asked me what I done wrong. So if that tells you anything about the family, they're on a crusade to right him with his wrongs. And they've done that his whole life. But just like his dad had said, when the cops had come to his house, I knew it was going to happen. I knew. I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. So.
Well, we had talked earlier, and Sandra, I'm going to get to you in just a minute, but I want to ask this one more question. We had spoke earlier, and you had given information, and I know I had some information, that Todd Smith had attacked his own mother, had brutally beat
his
own
mother. Oh, yes,
ma'am. Is that?
I witnessed it myself. She had MS in a wheelchair. And I witnessed him beat her up, which I of course stopped and got, you know, my jaw broke that day. But yes, he also beat his mother, who had MS, in a wheelchair, and him actually and his sister were cruel to her, and actually the whole family. They kept her in a basement, away from people, and would even like mock her and make fun of her and ostracize her for having MS. That's how these people work.
Did she get a disability check? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure she couldn't even walk. I mean, she had debilitating MS.
The reason why I ask that is that if they are keeping her in a basement, treating her very badly, it seems, there had to be a reason why they kept her around. So I imagine that the only reason why you keep somebody around that you beat and put in a basement is because you want that check each month. I mean, what?
I don't know why, because I'm not that type of individual, and it's hard for me to, like, really focus on what these people are thinking, because I don't think that way. But, yes, they did that to this woman and hid behind, you know, suburbia and acted like
right.
they were perfect, and they're not.
Thank you for including this information, and please stay on the line. I know that you're here at the courthouse protesting, but stay on the line. We're going to come right back to Sandra. Here at this courthouse today, has anyone given any explanation as to why this judge has canceled today's court hearing and is allowing this woman to continue to sit in jail, even though she had a valid bond and was out of jail on bond? And was supposed to start her murder trial a month ago with an attorney who works as a bankruptcy attorney and a child support attorney, not an attorney that's ever tried a capital murder case. But if you have some bankruptcy issues and child custody issues, he can help you with that. As to why this has happened today, is the judge perhaps thinking that the attorney is not qualified to represent Brittany because this is not a bankruptcy case?
The judge hadn't even considered that. I do believe that Brittany got appointed these attorneys. This morning we finally heard that the other one was supposed to be the second one that second pair, as state law you have to have two criminal attorneys if you have a murder trial or murder charge.
Right.
But no, not there has not been any reason giving why. I think what it is that they know that they messed up and they're not going to back off of what they're just trying to cover up what they messed up. But no, there's not been any reason why that any basis that they have to put her back into jail. It's just, it's mind-blowing. They have not gave anybody any reason why, and I don't know of any county jail that is set up to detox anybody off of any medication. There's not a medical physician in that jail.
Standing right across the street from a lawyer's office by the name of Dunsmore and Benson. Folks, I'm going to read you the advertisement that they got on their front window. It says, Dunsmore and Benson, attorneys at law, personal injury, workers' comp, social security disability, divorce, custody, support, bankruptcy, and the last word is oddly criminal. Their phone number is 256-574-9999. If anyone is interested in calling this number to find out what kind of criminal expertise they got. But what information I have at this time that I can share with folks is their criminal expertise is to show up and advise their client to plead guilty and take the drug court referral program that we were speaking about earlier, which is one of the reasons why we're here today. The drug court referral program is a way for certain individuals here in Jackson County who have themselves financially invested in the one drug test piece of equipment that is located in a building inside this county. That one piece of equipment, I believe they purchased that, if I have my information correct, through a group that has sold other drug testing, urine testing, urinalysis testing equipment to other counties in this state. It seems like there has been not overwhelming, I don't want to count everybody, but let me back up. It seems to be very, very common that these local county courthouses, their judges, their attorneys, that these people will have a financial interest in the community corrections program, which is where the drug court is ran through. In this county, it absolutely is. Three out of four judges have been implicated, linked, possibly, allegedly, to
Monday.
The ownership of this drug testing, this urinalysis testing facility here in Jackson County. They send their clients to be drug tested. They take the money off the top, off the bottom, any way they can get it. So it's not necessarily a fair game to say that you're a criminal attorney, Dunsmore and Benson, if most of your work is to stand in front of a judge and plead your client guilty and take the plea deal. That is not criminal defense. That is taking a plea deal. That means you're a tool. That does not mean you're doing your job in defending. So, sorry I went on that little rant right there. I wanted to walk over to this
office. You go right ahead, girl.
Office right over here, because she seems to have a lot of things going on, personal injury, workers' comp, social security, disability, divorce, custody, support, bankruptcy, and the last word, criminal. Clearly, criminal was not important to her to put that word first. The first word that she said she was most important at defending was personal injury. So the personal injuries that took place to Brittany, I believe we had the count on just the external injuries was 33. I wonder how much money she could sue the estate of Todd Smith for her 33 personal injuries now that she's been assigned an attorney that handles personal injury cases. That's good to know. Maybe she can sue the estate there for Todd Smith. But what is going on in this county? I mean, we have got to find out at its very core what is going on in this case, why they do not want to put this woman on a trial for a charge of murder that they themselves can't find any evidence to support, what evidence that was given to them, which was the bedding, the clothing that Brittany had on while she was being attacked and raped that would have the blood and other bodily fluids on them. Jackson County Sheriff's Department lost that right off the bat. If y'all had not had the opportunity to have this woman taken to a rape crisis clinic within 24 hours of her being raped, then we would have had no evidence at all. We would have had no evidence that this man had ever dropped any semen on her.
I can't say
we would have had that.
In here, but...
That's okay, Terry. You're fine. We had a little background noise. I don't know if somebody's intentionally doing this so that we are drowned out or what, but no surprise to us at all. No surprise to us at all. But there was some DNA of a black man that came back on one of their forensics. Well, hello. There was not a black man there, but there was a black man's DNA that showed up on some bed clothing.
Did they ever establish who this random black guy was?
No. No.
Did they ever attempt to go after a random black guy?
Not that we're aware of.
So apparently they had no concerns that it was a random black guy in a rural southern county in Alabama known for racism. In the past, they had no trouble hanging innocent black people for raping, even if they made up themselves, charged them today, hung them tomorrow. They've never had a problem in this town going after a black man. Why all of a sudden on a case where there's a rape, she's beat up, possible jaw broken, probably ribs broken, 33 injuries to her mouth, vagina, and her anus. How is it in this county that they decided not to go after a random black guy for the rape and the attack on Brittany Smith? Or is it just that they had no evidence, and the only evidence that they could come up with to protect their CI, if people know what a CI is, that's confidential informant. I mean, the only way that they could protect their confidential informant, Todd Smith, the police could, was to lose the evidence of the rape and then say a random black guy must have stopped by, said hello, shot a wad off in some blankets that was in a closet. I mean, they never even went after the guy. So what is the point?
Right. Right.
I don't even believe for one second that there was random black guy semen found on a blanket in her folded up in her floor. I don't believe that for 1 second. And the reason why I don't believe it for one second is because this southern rural county, known for racism, did not bat an eye when they had apparently some DNA evidence that said there was a black guy. Well, hell, if you know he's black, then you must know where he lives.
Exactly.
What the hell? So that's what we're trying to say, folks. None of this makes sense. I can't even make up something on from a racist standpoint. It was Todd Smith is white. There was no relation just because his name was Smith and Brittany's last name was Smith. They weren't related. This wasn't a domestic case. This guy was selling a pit bull puppy, and he saw a woman that was home alone. She had no one there with her. Her husband had left her recently. She wanted a pit bull puppy so that she could cry and pet this dog. He saw an opportunity like a predator would, according to his past. As many people as apparently have been attacked, he seems like a predator. He knows where to go get you when he wants to beat you. So a predator, he knew when to attack. There was no one there to protect her. So here we are today in Jackson County, which must promote rape. Where's the sign at the courthouse that says rape is okay? Because I've had multiple people contact me on private Facebook Messenger. Multiple women have contacted me to tell me of them being raped in this county and how the police turned and looked the other way. I do not understand how rape cannot be investigated and not be prosecuted in this county.
I was raped and beat by two people. First one was my husband, my first husband. The second one was the guy that I was dating. And they're still walking free to this day, and they won't do nothing about it. My first husband's a child molester, too. He has molested 5 children that we know of. One of them was my daughter, and he's still walking free. But, you know, as parents, as mothers, when we try to, you know, defend ourselves and our children, if we do, you know, decide to take matters in our own hands and, you know, protect ourselves and our children, we're in trouble. We're going to go to jail or prison.
Exactly. Right.
You know?
So
and it's wrong.
It's definitely wrong, dear. Definitely. Nowhere in anybody with common sense, with any intelligence to them at all, would say that rape was okay. If it was your mother, your wife, your daughter, your granddaughter, think about it. And it's not just women that get raped. It's men, too.
Oh, yes, I know.
Trust me.
I know.
Trust me. We have so many clients, and our crisis center is at full capacity. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how bad that this county is, that I have to take them to another state for a crisis center.
Oh, yeah, because they don't care. They don't care.
No,
right.
Not here, they don't.
Right.
Yeah, they look at it as not a crime.
Let me ask you,
good old boy syndrome.
Did you report it right here?
Ma'am, I reported all of it. I reported all the child molestation. I reported all the rapes. I reported all the beatings. They didn't care. They didn't care.
Huh.
And the heck, when it happened, when my first husband molested my daughter and everything, you know, I asked them up there because I was trying to go to court to keep him away from my children. I asked the DA if the judge was going to say that I had to let him see my children. The DA said, yeah, he probably would. And I told him, I'm not going to say the exact words because it was pretty bad. And I told him, though, that I would take my children and leave if, no offense, and, you know, I might get in trouble for saying this. Put a bullet in someone's head.
Yeah. That's a mob. Yep.
Because people like that don't even need to be walking.
It's just out of control here in this county, folks. And for me to describe to my listeners who follow me all over the world, last night we had on this show, we had a call in from Singapore. So to those people who are listening and follow what we do, you need to understand the kind of town that I'm trying to describe. Not too many years ago, not too long ago, there's still some people in this town probably alive that remembers it happening. There was an incident. A white woman said that she had been brutally raped.
Sure.
There was a group of boys, black African American boys, young boys. I believe they was all under the age of 16. They were arrested immediately for the charge of rape of this white woman who said that she had been brutally raped. Now, when it came time for trial, she didn't have much to say. Now, this was back in the 30s, folks. They didn't have DNA evidence. All that mattered back in the 30s was that a woman had made an accusation against some boys. They didn't know who they were. They grabbed up the first seven they could find because the rape had never took place, folks. The rape never mattered because come to find out later, she had lied about that, too. So they
but it was too late
because
they done killed them.
Yeah, they found the first seven boys they could find, young black African-American boys. They arrested those boys for the rape. They held a trial the next day, and then the next day after that, they hung them from a tree. So in this county, Jackson County, the history of which is a racist southern community, there is some good old boys here. Some of them wear a hood. Some of them keep that head. But what you need to understand is that there's not a whole lot for these citizens, a whole lot of places for them to go. It's very rural. It's not very populated with business and commerce. There's just a few places to get a good job. Otherwise, you're scratching for the lower paid jobs, or you're living up on a meth mountain making your meth so that you can sell it to feed your family, or you're traveling outside of this county to other businesses. The closest good business they have here is Google. Google has come into town. Google is going to be employing a whole lot of people. But even with that Google situation, of which I'm not right now ready to divulge what all I know, but even with Google, there's a problem with the people here in Jackson County because certain individuals have been pocketing a whole lot of money off of Google. And they probably wouldn't want their names put out there. But
Google
county,
steals from you, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
In this county,
but
I'm standing in front of the courthouse, and I'm looking around. All of these buildings are old. This is an old town, folks. You've got old folks that have been here generation after generation, lawyers whose fathers were lawyers, judges whose fathers as lawyers, all in the same courthouse. The sheriff's department is filled with people whose daddy had been in the sheriff's department. There's really nothing that goes on that people don't know about. It's one of those counties where you didn't need AT&T or Bell South. Word got around quicker than the mail or the phone could to talk about your neighbors and what's going on. So in this kind of community, with as many people who knew Todd Smith, the drugs, the beating, why are we here? Can anyone give us any reason as to why we are here today?
We're trying to get justice for Brittany, a rape victim. No, there is no justice. And I'll tell you what, we got enough of trees on this square. Let's just throw a bunch of ropes and start hanging some white people.
Well,
if you do that,
you're going to get all of the major news stations down here wanting to know why something like that was happening. But see, in this case, there was never a black assailant. This random black person who they can't name, I don't believe for one second that they found any semen of a random black person that this rural county wouldn't be willing to go chase or look about. The same county that didn't mind hanging innocent boys. Back in the 30s. So this is what I'm saying, folks. This doesn't even make sense. I wish I had more information that I could give you. We were hoping that we would have a hearing today. We were hoping that the attorney that has been appointed, there would be some information from her. We were hoping that the judge would give us some information on when Brittany would either see another health professional or when she would be released back on her bond waiting her murder trial. None of this has happened. They placed her in general population, but a month ago she was danger to herself and her community. None of this has made any sense at all.
This is a mother here. They've taken her off all of her medication, and as of yesterday, before that, for a month, she was held in
medical lockdown 23/7 was allowed an hour to shower and to call home. She hasn't even got to speak to her kids in a month. They released her yesterday in a general population, even though the state psychologist, the paid psychologist that saw her for an hour and deemed her unfit to take the stand, incompetent, even though the therapist that she'd been seeing all year while she was out on bond says that, you know, yes, she does have PTSD and anxiety from all the things that she suffered from. But the state psychologist says she's incompetent. Her therapist and her doctor say she's competent to take stand. My daughter wants to take the stand. She's been threatened to be sent to Bryce Mental Hospital for the criminally insane, even though she's not been convicted of anything. They were supposed to have a appearance hearing for Deborah Dunsmore today, and they were supposed to let us know exactly what they were going to do with my daughter, whether they were going to send her to the nut house or if they were going to send her to outpatient therapy or what. They were going to detox her in a from her psychotropic drugs that she was on, which she passed her drug test. They popped a drug test in court. They were going to send her to a hospital setting for 3 to 5 days to be detoxed and then go to outpatient therapy at Mountain Lakes. Well, the guy that is the therapist that goes over to the jail every now and again and sees the inmates that need him, he has had a recommendation for her to go to outpatient at Mountain Lakes up until her Stand Your Ground hearing. The lawyer that represents her will not go and get this information, this recommendation from him. I have tried to call him. I tried to contact him. I've emailed him. He will not return my calls anymore or my emails. He never has. Barely. I mean, I'm not going to say hasn't because he's barely returned my calls. He's seen my daughter twice in the month since she's been in jail. Yesterday, she's released into general population. The day that the state psychologist saw her, he said he saw another girl over at the jail right before he saw Brittany. Well, he's gotten his report that my daughter was either on heroin, bipolar, schizophrenic, and she's incompetent to take the stand. Let's see, she's been institutionalized at another mental hospital in Madison County. No, she has not. My daughter is not on heroin, never has been. She's not bipolar, she's not schizophrenic. She's never been diagnosed with any of that crap. She has PTSD and anxiety from all the rape, being raped, beaten, and almost killed, and having to shoot somebody to defend herself and save her own life. And however, all of this should have fell under the Stand Your Ground law. They're ignoring that. They're wanting to keep the rape and stuff quiet. They want everything hush hush. Nobody has mentioned the rape except her previous lawyer, Parker Emerson, who stood up in court and said that she had been raped and beaten and almost killed, and that was proven when they took her to the Rape Crisis Center. However, he got kicked off the case for conflict of interest. Okay, right now, my daughter is not charged with anything. She's been out, I mean, she's charged with murder, but she's been out on bond for that for almost a year. Then they jail her wrongfully in my eyes to detox her. She's been in jail now for a month, not with any charges. She's not been rearrested. She's not been hospitalized. She's not been a danger to anybody, not herself, not anybody. And my question is this: if you're a danger to society or to other people or to yourself, why are you going to strip her of all her medications that even their state psychologist said that she needed to be on for the PTSD? Her doctor, her therapist, everybody has said, yes, she does need medication for the PTSD and the anxiety. All right, they've stripped her of all her medications, stuck her in general population with 50 other girls as of yesterday, which they are overcrowded because all I've heard is there's only 40 beds and there's 50 girls. I don't know about the guys, but there's 216 people in there, I believe. I don't know how many beds they have for them. But why would you stick somebody that's non-medicated and a danger to themselves and to others out in general population, unless, I mean, you're trying to cause them to have a nervous breakdown or a mental meltdown or whatever. I mean, what is the deal with that? Why would you even do that? And another thing, my daughter was held for a month captive, basically. She wasn't charged with anything. She was put in there to detox. They put her on Librium and Calum for like a week, detoxed her off of that. Then they had to detox her off of women's one a day and a B12 vitamin. And it took longer to detox off the vitamins than it did the drugs they had her on. Okay. She's been basically detox now for 3 weeks. Why is, you know, they're wanting to send her to Bryce Mental Hospital for the criminally insane, somewhere you'd send Ted Bundy or freaking Jeffrey Dahmer. My daughter's not been convicted. Why would she be sent to a mental hospital? They want to put her in there from anywhere from 90 to 60 days. My baby called home the other night saying, Mama, if you don't hear from me, it's because they've taken me somewhere. They won't tell me where I'm going. You won't know where I'm going. I'll just be gone. It's like I'm being kidnapped, Mom. And she is. She's being kidnapped. She has been kidnapped for the last friggin' month. And nobody has done anything to help her. I've tried to contact her attorney. I've tried to contact the second chair attorney that was approved 8 months ago and just given to her, just assigned to her about 5 days ago. We were lied to and told that she would be in on the second chair 6 months ago. We called her office. They don't know who we are or why we're even calling them. And today my daughter calls me from jail and says, Mom, I'm not having court this morning. They marked me off the list. They did some add-ons. There was four girls going to court today. They marked my name off the list, did some add-ons, and I don't know when I'll be going to court. They told me they were just going to have to reschedule it. And so now we don't know what my daughter's going to be, what's going to be done to her. I mean, she's being raped again by the system. This is insane on their behalf.
Well, I would like to give the phone number out, 256-574-9999. That's Dunsmore and Benson. You have not been able to get any answers from James Nick, and I have up to this point not given the name of an attorney that is holding your daughter's life in his hand, James Nick, divorce attorney. And across the street, once again, Dunsmore and Benson, personal injury, Social Security, bankruptcy. But the very last word is criminal. Once again, what we can find is the criminal expertise that they have in criminal court is called the plea deal. Some of us, unfortunately, know what a plea deal is. Those of us who've never been arrested, never been in a court system, but like to watch TV shows about court systems and police, you would understand a plea deal and a trial is two different things. A trial is when an attorney has the experience to carry through with the information that will be presented before a jury of people. we don't have an attorney on her case that has ever tried a criminal capital murder case in front of a jury. This is insane. Your daughter is being represented by bankruptcy lawyers.
I sat in court the other day for 9 hours. Well, it's been a month now. For 9 hours, I witnessed 244 cases in that 9 hours. Every one of them took a plea deal and was subjected to color code. There may have been a handful that weren't. My daughter was the one that said, no, I am not pleading guilty. This is self-defense. I want to take the stand. I want to tell people my story. I want to be cleared of this because this is not right. The man, you know, raped, beaten, and almost killed me and attacked my brother. And, you know, I'm being punished and charged with murder. And I want to defend myself. And so she's being raped again by the system.
There's such a thing as a speedy trial. In this case, could anyone say that for justice's sake? Let's say for the justice that Todd Smith's family feels like they deserve in this case, because clearly they were okay with his actions, had been okay with his actions. Information that has been given to me, folks, by witnesses that want to remain silent witnesses because they fear for their lives. These people have let me know that this is a violent family, that the father is violent, that his feelings is hurt, that his son is dead. There is retribution to be handed around, and that there's a lot of worry in this town because this family is known to be a violent family, or insofar as the men folk, the women folk just seem to take their bruises and go on and try to make it to the next day. But this situation is appalling, and I wished that we could have gotten James Mick or the Dunsmore attorneys to come on and speak to us. No one wants to speak to us, but I can tell you one person who does want to speak to you, Ramona, if you're still on the line.
I'm still here.
We recently have been reached out to by an individual, a journalist, in a big town, New York, New Jersey. They are very interested in taking this case. Can you speak any on some of the things that you have been in discussion with a journalist that is willing to print this story nationwide?
I have given her all the documentation that I have right now. I've got more that I've got to give her, but I did show her the rape crisis center results and everything. I've shared with her the entire story, you know, my daughter's story, and she's very interested. And I've also gotten calls from Washington, New York, Montgomery. I used to live in Montgomery, and I'm thinking about taking a road trip. I would love to speak with Kay Ivey on this matter and some of the other higher-ups down there. I still have friends down there in Montgomery that will welcome me with open arms. One of them actually flies the plane for the governor. The other one, he's well-known. He knows people around there, so hopefully I can get my car fixed and get on the road if they don't let my daughter out soon and go to Montgomery and bring some people up here.
Well, that would be a blessing, actually. If someone's out there listening that would like to help Ramona get her car fixed, I know that she would absolutely accept it because times have been very difficult. And after Brittany had been arrested, isn't it correct, Ramona, that she tried multiple times to get a job local here in town, and just seems like she was being closed out of even working at a Jack's restaurant.
Honey, neither one of my kids can either get a job at McDonald's. They will not hire them. My daughter has a murder rap hanging around her daggum neck. Nobody even, I mean, she applies, they respond, I'm sorry, we've found a better candidate, or no, we can't hire you because some of Todd's family or friends might work on that job,
and, you know, it would just cause a crisis or chaos. My son, bless his heart, he's afraid to leave the daggum house. He's applied at jobs, been turned down. This last year has just literally threw my whole family into turmoil, okay? No, neither one of my kids can get a job in this town. They're going to have to go out of state somewhere and go to work. And they can't do that because they still got to go to court. And so, I mean, it's just, it's been a nightmare. It has been a nightmare. And
is there any relief that you can see in sight that other victims who have maybe received justice that could have reached out to you? Has anyone ever reached out to you, Ramona, and said, keep your chin up, this is going to work out just fine because Jackson County is going to do the right thing?
99% of the community is behind Brittany. I mean, they're behind Brittany. The other 1% is on dope, and, you know, you've met half of them talking. You've talked to half of them. But 99% of the community is behind Brittany, and they've told me, you know, Ramona, this is horrible. This is wrong. They should not be doing Brittany this way. Why are they doing Brittany this way? You know, and I mean, I'm a little nobody from Stevenson, Alabama, okay? But I have connections, and I thank God that I met you, Sherry, because I'm a little nobody from Stevenson, okay? But I'm loud. I was told to pipe down because it wasn't helping my daughter in jail. I'm not going to pipe down. I'm going to scream it from the rooftops. I'm fixing to get justice for my daughter. If I have to bring half of Birmingham, Montgomery, the senators, the congressmen, the governor, whoever I've got to go sit on their front doorstep and talk to, I'm fixing to get justice for my daughter because this is wrong. This is wrong. People should not be treated this way. Rape victims should not have to, you know, be put in jail for murder when it was clearly self-defense, you know, clearly. And, I mean, this has been ridiculous. This has been ridiculous.
Just a couple of days before that last court hearing you and Sandra went to an individual and presented some evidence on the corruption.
It was Tuesday, February the 5th. We were in recess. That's when the judge decided that my daughter would be detoxed in a hospital setting, and then she would be sent to outpatient therapy at Mountain Lake. Told us to take a recess, everybody go to lunch, come back. During lunch, we took some paperwork, documentation, proof that my daughter was passing her drug test, okay? Well, she pissed one little old girl off at Color Code. She was in Color Code for DHR. On the 10th, they wrote a report saying that my daughter was doing great. DHR did, okay. My daughter was doing great. Her visits were fixing to increase with the youngest child. If she were to get the youngest child back, she would get her other three back. They you know, evaluated her home. She lived in a nice two-story brick home in a quiet little subdivision, okay. Brittany was passing her drug test, working 7 days a week. She got into it with this girl. The girl went in the computer and changed her drug test. We had proof of it. I've got an 8-inch folder that shows proof of wrongdoing, okay? And we took it to a county commissioner here, gave it to him. My daughter then told James Mick what she had done. And before we left, the judge had changed her mind, decided Color Code was going to detox my daughter, cure her of her PTSD and her competency, and bring her back to a competent state where that she could stand trial. Okay, we went to Color Code the next day just as we were told because we don't want to cause any trouble. We want to, you know, we want our lives back. And so My daughter, I take her to color code. The guy tells her that works there. I won't call names because he's a really sweet guy. And he has tried to help Brittany. But he tells her, says, Brittany, we're not qualified to do what she's asking. You know, we are not qualified to do what she's asking. We don't even know what the hell she's asking us to do. We don't detox people. We can't cure PTSD or bring you back to competency, you know. And he said, just come back and monitor every 2 weeks like you've been doing. You know, you've been compliant and everything for a year. Well, almost a year, 10 months. And, you know, you've done what you were supposed to do. You've been sober. They deal with addicts every day. You know, I'm sure they can tell if they're messed up or whatever. And the guy said, Brittany, you've been coming here every 2 weeks for a year, he said, and I can tell that you ain't been messed up, you know, because I would have said something to you if you had. Well, so we leave. Well, we get a call later. She calls James Mick, tells him what, you know, they told her at color code. We get a phone call from him saying to be in court the next day at 1:30. We get to court, and at 1:30, the judge decides then, she's changed her mind again, decides that my daughter's going to jail to detox, and then she's going to Bryce Mental Hospital for the criminally insane. Okay, me and the judge kind of had words in the courtroom, and I kind of got asked to leave, and they took my daughter to jail. And so the lawyer will not speak to me. He won't return my calls. He won't return my emails. Neither one of them. I've called and left messages with their secretaries. I've emailed. Mostly emailed Mick. He won't reply to me at all. So they take my daughter to jail to detox. All right, she's been in there a month. Now they're talking that James Mick told me himself, she never said Bryce Mental Hospital. Well, hell yes, she did, because I've never heard of friggin' Bryce Hospital before. My daughter's never heard of it. My neighbor'd never heard of it. She drove me down here because my car's tore up. And sat in court with me for 9 hours that one day, and then for about 3 hours the next day, or the Thursday. So on the seventh, they incarcerate my daughter, right? I leave. I'm entirely pissed, you know. And I don't know what to do, so I called you, and I called Sandra and said, help me. Help me. My daughter has basically been kidnapped. She's fixing to be sent off. I don't know where she's going to go. That's the threat that they're making now, and I'm really angry about it. My daughter doesn't deserve this. The daggum state psychologist that they assigned to her, that talked to her for an hour, said she'd been institutionalized before and was possibly on heroin, bipolar, schizophrenic. None of that is true. None of that is true. I don't know if he got the girl that he talked to at the jail mixed up with my daughter or what, but none of that's true. That's not the case with my daughter. She has never been institutionalized. She's never done heroin. She said, Mama, you know, I've always been honest with you. You know, she does have a past substance abuse issue from, I mean, years ago. She's been clean. She's been doing everything they told her to do, jumped through every fiery hoop. Now she can't even get a damn job. She lost her home, her car, her house, you know, her kids. I mean, it's, they really push you to the limit with all of this. And it's not fair. All of this should have fell under that stand your ground law. I mean, you come in my house, you beat me, rape me, and try to kill me, then you attack my brother or one of my kids or something. No, I'm going to take matters into my own hands, because when you call the police, you know, and I'm not dogging them, but when you call the police, they don't necessarily take you seriously, you know. And I get it, because a lot of women will not stand up for themselves, and they'll back down, drop the warrant, drop the restraining order, you know, because they're threatened or because they're scared, you know. And I get the police side of it, where they think, ah, hell, you know, this girl's not, she's not going to do anything about it, you know. But in this case, my daughter did do something about it. She did defend herself and her brother. And now look where she's at. What's that telling the community? What's that telling other women? What's that telling other families? You're in your own home, and you cannot protect yourself from someone that is assaulting and beating you, raping you. You know, what is that telling the community? What is this judge saying to the community? You know, we're going to lock you up because you're crazy and you're incompetent to take the stand, even though your doctor and the therapist you've been seeing for a year say that you are competent. And we're just going to get rid of the problem for a little while and put you in a nut house for 90 days to 6 months. I mean, what's that telling the community? It's okay to go out here and beat and rape women, try to kill them.
Well, what it tells me is right after the judge found out that y'all had approached the county commissioner with evidence of collusion of a change of drug test, the judge immediately decided that she was a crazy loony tune and needed to go to a place as Bryce Criminal Hospital, which does exist, folks. It's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
If you speak out and stand up for yourself, you're crazy, okay? I mean, you're crazy.
But you're labeled the North End know-it-all.
Thank you, baby. Yeah. I love
That's
it.
That's what they name
well,
me
I'm
now.
Well, I'm just
this
a troublemaker,
Sandra.
Okay?
Yes. And I'm a North End know-it-all because I live in the very northeast corner of Jackson County, Alabama. I border Marion County, Tennessee, and Dade County, Georgia. Yeah, I do know a lot.
I'm a troublemaker because I'm trying to defend my daughter, but nobody gets it. I'm her voice, okay? She's not allowed to speak up. She's not allowed to say anything. I've been told I need to pipe down and keep quiet. Well, you know what? I'm not going to keep quiet. That's my daughter in there that they're screwing over. That they picked the wrong kid, okay? She may be 31 years old, but that's my baby, and I will fight anybody down here for her. I will fight till my dying days, till my last breath. They are screwing my child over.
Well, they have done this to many other people. They have treated other people wrongly in this courthouse. Sandra, if you're still on the line,
yes.
In the past, you have had to deal personally with this drug court corruption, this game that they've got playing on here in Jackson County. And you have been quite active in the community, even going so far as to conducting your own investigations and letting Jackson County know that you're investigating them. what kind of treatment have you been able to live through in your family? What kind of treatment have you been experiencing since you took it upon yourself to start educating the community on what is happening here in Jackson County?
Oh, the retaliation is real. They grabbed they jumped up and grabbed my child that was a minor, and had no drug charges at all, just traffic violations, and was hit on color code. And after he was taken off of color code, they said, oh, you failed to appear. So they jerked him up, and they take him to a rehab that I had to give $350 for a bed, and he had to stay there. The attorney that was hired to represent him set him up to have a flight, well, an escape on him, because they didn't set up transportation from the rehab to the halfway, which the rehab was in Russellville, Alabama, and the halfway house was in